Welcome to Inside Swindonet Support with top guests and top tips.
Hi and welcome to another episode of Insights live from Bet 2024. Here we are on the Net Support stand, SD50, and boy has it been a jam-packed day. Really hope you've been enjoying the other episodes. I'm really excited to have with me in this conversation Dan Davis. Hiya Dan, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, really good. We've had a lovely conversation about teaching and learning and technology, leadership of technology, universal design for learning. I know that Dan's going to be sharing some fantastic insights into teaching and learning with technology in a primary setting. Dan works in a school, they got one-to-one iPads, and one thing which didn't shock me, but I was surprised to hear, is that they start with one-to-one iPads in year one. Yes. Now, lots of schools will start those sort of things from year three. An iPad is a fantastic device for learning. I'm not going to sit here and do an advert for Apple. However, I was surprised about the early start with that, Dan. Could you talk us through the thinking behind that and how it happened? And you'll hear some of the benefits that that's actually brought. You're 3.5 years in, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. When we first got our first set of iPads in our schools, we started looking out to other schools that have gone on a similar rollout program. We knew we wanted to end up at one-to-one somewhere. And we kept hearing this start at key stage two model and potentially work down. And scratching our heads a little bit, we thought, well, why are we going to teach children that a classroom environment and work is using a pencil and a book for a couple of years of school life and then go, actually, now we're going to change it and put an iPad in your hand? So let's give it a trial. And we took one classroom, one year one classroom, and said, let's go for it. Let's put these devices in that classroom and see what they can do with it. And they absolutely flew with it. And that's had such an amazing been support for us, been really successful as they've moved up through the schools. There's none of that lesson time taking away learning how to use the tech or how to use the device. And where they've become so natural that's part of their learning, that is a part of their everyday toolkit. Mm-hmm. The way that they've found to use it, and they're the ones that are coming up with new ways and showing us, oh, can I do it like this? Can I do it like that? And that's been great. But one of the key things that we did there was we said, right, well, instead of having a computing lesson on that weekly timetable, let's write our own kind of version of this and have an iPad lesson. And that wasn't about games or anything like that. That was about teaching the children all of the things that iPad can do. Really, really drilling down into them, understanding the accessibility features. What does that home button do? What's in that control center? How can I adapt it to make it right for me so I can personalize my learning device? And that was absolutely a game changer for us.
That's really interesting. I say an unusual thing in my experience, right? So I'm a school governor, okay? So I've got a governor hat on for a second, okay? Well, surely you should be teaching. You say you haven't got computing, but you have got a statutory duty to be covering the computing program as well. So how does that marry up, given it's an iPad lesson? How does that work for you?
Absolutely have. So the number one thing was getting the iPad skills so that they knew how to use the device for them in that year one. And then looking at how our computing curriculum built year on year and year on year to make sure that we do have complete coverage. And when children from that first year of school are so competent in using a device, they can whiz through this computing curriculum really quite easily.
Fantastic. Well, that's really good to hear. I'm just going to readjust my microphone and you can do that yourself for a second. That'd be great. So that's really interesting. So a bit of a pivot on computing with the iPad lesson in year one. iPad one-to-one through. If you want to find out more as well, by the way, I should have mentioned this in the intro. You can follow Dan on Twitter. I'll give you his handle in just a moment and all that sort of thing. Woodland Academy Trust in South East London near Dartford. I know because he had to rearrange his visit with me because he was facilitating visits to the school to see this amazing technology work in place. I know he'd be really keen to hear from you and to learn more beyond this conversation.
But absolutely.
Universal design for learning, Dan, something you're really passionate about.
Incredibly.
Incredibly. Really excited to hear about this. But whilst it's something that I know about, I don't think it's as well known or understood out there. So before we jump into some questions around this, what is universal design for learning?
So universal design for learning is a fairly recent term within education. But universal design in itself was originally, I believe, an architecture term with that concept of going, oh, okay, I have to put a ramp in because that meets my disability if I've got somebody that's in a wheelchair. So I'll put my steps there for everybody else and then my ramp there for my wheelchair user. But hang on a minute, everybody can walk up that ramp. Why do we need those stairs in the first place? And the whole concept of designing for your widest group of people so that they can all access something in the way that's best suited for them, where it's most natural to them. And then teachers got hold of this and come up with the concept of universal design for learning. And thinking, well, hang on a minute, why have I got this quite traditional viewing of differentiation where I've got maybe those are my lower ability students or my higher attaining group and all that pre-deciding before the lessons. And the width and the breadth that you've got of individuals in those groups in the first place. Ideally, as a teacher, you want to design 30 different lessons for 30 different children.
Yeah.
Impossible, right? So that the concept is designing one learning opportunity and designing it really, really well so that every child can access it in the moment, in the way that's right for them, there and then, for that lesson. And a big part of that has been accepting how they demonstrate their learning coming back to us. Bit of a challenge coming away from a more formal approach and saying, you know, you can speech to text for this outcome because I'm not asking about your writing in this, I'm asking you to demonstrate your knowledge. You can film a vlog or a podcast or something to show me what you understand. You can put a kind of collage together of information with some doodles and some notes around it. As long as you can meet that LO at the same standard,
yeah,
I'm going to accept it.
And by LO, he wasn't saying hello.
Oh.
He means like learning objective or learning outcome.
Yeah, sorry.
You're actually checking the children on. Sorry, I made myself laugh then as well. So a phrase I've used heard a few times around universal design for learning. And here in NetSupport, you know, we've got an approach to the way we design our software, which is incorporating privacy by design to make sure that student privacy is covered, accessibility by design. A phrase I've heard linked to universal design for learning, and I wondered if you could sort of explain how it links into your approaches within the school and the trust. And when it comes to universal design for learning, it's essential for some, but helpful for all. How does that sort of tie in?
That ties in a way that if I want to talk to you about something that I'm really, really passionate about, I can come and I can tell you a story all about the Egyptians, because that's something I'm really, really interested in. I've picked up on all that knowledge and I've learned stuff about it and I've watched films and things at home, and then we say, right, now we're going to write it down or something along those lines. All of a sudden, maybe that child starts to not like the Egyptians anymore. So without quashing those interests and those things that really, really engage them, how am I going to allow you to give that back to me? So I may be able to write, I may not like writing. When I design wide, those ones that it's absolutely essential for because they physically may not be able to write have another opportunity. But then those children who just aren't that keen on it, if I don't need you to show me that you can write or demonstrate that in this lesson, in this particular situation, I'm going to accept that there are other ways that you can do it. And whilst I'm still finding out your knowledge or the skill that we're talking about in this learning opportunity, I'm not quashing anything, and I'm allowing you to express yourself in a way that's in the best for you.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much for sharing that. I'm wondering, you know, the age of the children you work with, you know, they're not going to be experts in pedagogy and all those other things, but I do know children do enjoy and love giving feedback.
Oh, yes.
So whilst they might not be experts in understanding universal design for learning, although it might be terminology that they're aware of, please do tell me. But have they given you any feedback in these approaches that are broader, that enable them to showcase their learning in different ways?
Absolutely. I mean, the engagement to begin with is through the roof, to the point that when you have one lesson and you've got a news report being made over there in front of a green screen and different apps over there, a music app, and they're making a rap around something to explain their information, and you've got children that in a more traditional sense might be working in their book, writing it out, and that's fine for them. The buzz around the classroom is amazing, and that's feedback enough for me. But one of the biggest things that we found that children, especially the younger children, really, really love is the way that we're providing feedback. and a teacher leaving a voice note as feedback. Children love hearing their teacher talking about their work and being able to play it over again and think, what did they say? Let me pick back. One of the most powerful things we do as teachers is speak. And we've had ways of recording all that other information, such as worksheets or photographs, images that we give out, notes that we've written, that all stays with them. But so often the things that we say are then lost in that moment. So just the simple action of a button that says voice note, and I've saved that. That's really, really powerful.
So I'm guessing you're using a platform such as Showbe.
Yes, we use Showbe.
Yep. So I didn't know that, but I'm just a lucky guess there. Great tool. And again, the audio feedback is fantastic. And you can do so much more as well, can't you? So brilliant stuff. So listen, we're getting to the end of our conversation. If people wanted to sort of connect with you, Dan, and find out more, where can they do that? Can you share the school's socials and yours as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to get me on Twitter or X, it's at Mr. D Davis 1, and that's Davis with an E, D-A-V-I-E-S, Mr. D Davis 1. We've also got a regional training centre that we run. So Kent and Bexley RTC for Regional Training Centre. RTC, you can reach out to us there as well.
Brilliant stuff. And if you didn't know, if you wanted to go to the Regional Training Centre, they do offer lots and lots of free, F-R-E-E, not just only go three times, training around use of technologies. And I say, part of their remit of keeping their badge as well is they have to actually offer these things to you. So please do get in touch if you want to learn more about this and other things around teaching, learning, and technology. Listen, Dan, it's been lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you to you too for joining us for this episode of Insights from NetSupport here live from the Vet Show 2024. Thanks.
Bye-bye.